Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Shannon.
And we are Push Push, the girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing.
Listen and subscribe to the podcast across all major streaming platforms, including full shows on YouTube.
Welcome back to Push Push. I'm Danielle Davis.
I'm Shannon Kessler.
And we are your girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing. And wow, oh wow, we may be at the end of the season, but the drama is truly just beginning.
We have gotten glimpses and glimmers of drama all season, but nothing quite like this. And nothing. I cannot wait. I was like, you know, I am done with this season. Let it be over. Oh, the headache. And then Qatar was like, not so fast, ladies. Hang on just a minute.
No, we're getting drivers yelling at each other. We're getting drivers in. We're getting drivers out. We're getting drivers crashing. It's everywhere.
Everywhere. We're losing friendships left and right. What's going to happen on this grid? Who knows?
I know we should talk about the race, but there's so much race adjacent stuff that's so exciting, especially since we are recording. We're post race, but we are right in the thick of all this breaking news.
Oh, okay. Let's do it. Let's get into the breaking news.
News
first, and then we'll backtrack to the race.
You guys, we've been saying it all year. We've known it's coming. The hammer finally appears to have fallen on Sergio Perez. Bless
him. Bless him. He had a delusion of delusional seasons, and he really thought he was going to be
He kept telling us, and we said, I don't think you are seeing the signs that the rest of us are seeing.
Yeah.
Not the Carlos signs, the signs, the actual signs. Because the writing has been on every single wall, in every single pit, in every place you turn all season long.
Specifically in every single one of Helmut Marko's posts. It's been there.
Everything but been the dude with the sign and just stood, which I'm going to do, which is just stood there and said, he basically should be sitting at every podium with a cardboard sign that's like, Checo Perez will not be on Red Bull in 2025.
Well, in a recent quote from Christian Horner said, we will support Checo until the checkered flag drops in Abu Dhabi. And he was true to his word.
It's not a lie.
But not here we go. Because now Checo's out. So is he going to race in Abu Dhabi?
No, he is. Okay. No, he's got one more in him. According to multiple sources, and this is from, it's been reported on ESPN, on New York Times, on all the motorsports sites. Sergio Perez is set to leave Red Bull at the end of the 2024 season, sources have told ESPN and a bunch of other outlets, obviously. Multiple sources have confirmed that Red Bull have decided to move on from Perez after Sunday's Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Team boss Christian Horner hinted at Perez's impending exit after the Qatar Grand Prix, which is what we've essentially said. But Horner said, I'm going to let Checo come to his own conclusions. Nobody's forcing him one way or another, Horner said when asked about the Mexican driver's future. It's not a nice situation for him to obviously be in, which that makes it seem like they have maybe sent a piece of paper across the table that says, take the money, but you have to go.
Yeah.
You can either take the money or you cannot take the money, but you will be going.
Right. You will not be driving in a Red Bull car. You can stay and want to be a mechanic in the garage. You go right ahead. But your contract for us to be in an F1 seat is done.
Well, so it does say the 2025 contract extension Perez signed earlier this year means he cannot be sacked outright. But he can be moved into a wider ambassadorial role within the company, which is the same thing. We've seen this with Daniel Ricciardo. You know, we all watched that unfold. So that's where they're basically saying, hey, Checo, why don't you just, you know, hit the street.
Exit with grace. Yeah. You got to just let it go.
You know, hit the streets and maybe talk about the team. I don't know. Maybe don't. I don't know. But you can't. You can take the money.
Out of all people talking about Red Bull, do you want it to be Checo? I don't. No. I want Checo to write a tell-all, but I don't think that Red Bull wants him in the streets being like, Red Bull's the greatest, because that's not what he's going to say.
He's looked so sad lately, too. Like, just put him out of his misery. So sad.
I know.
Anyways, so there we go. Okay, so then we've seen the tweets. Somebody noticed on the F1 merch site that you can buy gear for Max Verstappen. You can buy gear for Sergio Perez. And who else could you buy gear for, Shannon?
Valtteri Bottas?
King of all kings. And
RedBull.com site?
Are you teased it over the weekend?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they're foreshadowing. Look at him. A king.
I don't think it was maybe foreshadowing. I mean, he was foreshadowing, but I think he knew maybe. I mean, I would assume he's been chatting.
He's definitely been chatting.
He's also the best, like, number two. He's the best Robin
of number two
in the game. Like
1,000%. 1,000%. So this is going to be such an interesting chain of events if this does happen.
I would just be overjoyed. Call me a Red Bull fan if Valtteri Bottas. I'm into New Max.
Yep.
New Max is kind of my vibe, especially when he just was throwing just darts at George Russell.
I was like, yeah, Max.
I mean, it truly combines my two great things, like absolute pettiness and absolute DJAF. Like, this would be a pairing for the ages. Lewis might not love it. You know, it's kind of he stole his title, he stole his wingman, but you know,
he stole his the bake to shake and bake, you know, like
yeah. But honestly, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it. I will say I wouldn't hate it, but I did purposely wear my Yuki hat today because I do think if Valtteri went to that seat, that is a big ol' slap in the face to Yuki Tsunoda, who has done nothing but prove that he deserves that second seat at Red Bull. He is quite literally dismantled every partner that he's had with his car. And he's like, no, I'm the number one. I know that I should be in the seat. Like,
I mean, it's
the only person that I wouldn't be like, ugh, because they took the seat from Yuki is Valtteri. Like, it's the only way this makes sense. I wouldn't want Daniel to have it. I wouldn't want Liam Lawson to have it. I certainly don't want any of the new kids to have it. But
Valtteri, king. I could also imagine Yuki wanting a big contract extension and a big, like a long-term, large contract. And I'm sure Valtteri's like, oh, nah, dog. I just need a couple years. Like, give me two and some cash, and then I'm good. So, like, if you're in need of a short-term fix, who better?
Valtteri's kind of your man. Yeah. I can see it through that lens.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm guessing Yuki is young. Like, he probably wants, and I would imagine his agent or his team is like, we want you. Like, it's like after an NFL player has their, like, three-year rookie, and then they go get paid. I feel like Yuki's like, no, it's time for me to get the long contract and the big payment. And they're kind of like, look, we still got to pay Checo all this money. Like, we're doing a lot of things. We're just going to bring this guy in for like, maybe 1-2 years, kind of, see where we're at.
Yeah.
And, Valtteri's kind of like, cool, whatever.
Okay. So this makes an interesting play then. So has Max signed a contract extension past 25, or is he still waiting for the 26 regulations and all of that to come out before he makes a decision about 26?
I thought he was through 26, but I'm obviously not 100% sure.
Okay. I probably should have looked
Max Verstappen current contract. Let's look it up. I mean, that's what we're here to do.
Yeah.
But the reported 55-year his contract is through 2028. He has a $55 million contract that goes through 2028. That's why I knew he was kind of locked in. Okay. So I could see them being like, hey, we get Valtteri through next year. Then we maybe get like a new teammate. Like, then we go somebody young. I mean,
yeah. Oh man.
This is a great, you know, you won't see us giving out a lot of Red Bull compliments over here. Oh, we do, but just not like a lot of joy behind them. But this is an excellent A plus, all round of applause all around.
I still don't know if I love it. Okay, well, I mean, like, I love Valtteri.
This could age very poorly. Like, we're going to put this out. It probably won't come out till tomorrow. And like, we could have already have an announcement on somebody else. And it could be a new person. It could be Yuki. Yeah. It could be anybody.
Because, I mean, I don't know. It really could. But this is where it's kind of frustrating because we've seen this happen so many times in Formula One where we have all these, you know, hopes and dreams for these new kids that are coming in, rightfully so, because they test well. They have one great race. They have one, you know, epic F1 debut. And you're like, this is it. This kid is the next thing. And then the kid, like Colapinto, is sliding all over the place. But we saw it with Liam Lawson. We saw him with Logan Sargeant. We saw it with Nick DeVries. So it's not like putting all your eggs in the F2 basket has really worked out for anybody in F1 right now.
Also, so, justice for Mick.
Also, justice for Mick. Yeah, you know, like again, another newbie.
Give him another chance.
I don't know. I mean, it's an expensive gamble for these, you know, these teams to take on these young drivers. And it's like, do you want to do that? Or do you want to go with someone who's a little more seasoned in this era of an F1 car?
For sure. And also, speaking of crashing into the wall and costing your team a lot of money, you know who hasn't done that at all this season?
I'm not going to say it, Danielle, because I don't want to jinx this kid.
I mean, Pierre Gasly, a king, a steady king. I feel like he's going to carry the torch for Valtteri once Valtteri decides to leave, because he's hitting amazing vacations. He's got a ride or die chick. He never slacks on the Friday content. You know who are my first two people when I go to look for Friday content? VB and Pierre. They come
and PG. You know,
with having fun and just doing the task at hand. Maybe not, they're not, you know, maybe the best, but they're going to be correct. They're going to be steady. They're going to be experienced. Yeah. They're going to give you what you need. And Pierre.
That's true. I mean, and you know, the engine problem that he had last week was a very specific issue that actually wasn't his issue whatsoever.
And it wasn't his fault. He didn't take a sledgehammer to the engine. It's just like, you know, the engine just crapped out.
Did you read about that? This was really bizarre. It was like the amount of clean air that hit that engine is what caused it to explode.
That's
they're
crazy.
Like, it's like one of those like one in like crazy percentages that it would happen, and it happened, and I'm like, huh.
But yeah, like that's not, he didn't cause the team.
He didn't cause it.
The car
right
had the problems. And then we've got another breaking.
Another breaking?
No Ocon. Well, yeah, it's great. I mean, breaking news.
Oh yeah, yeah,
day.
Yeah. That's
Joe
true.
Ocon. He's out early. Getting pulled out early from Alpine. You know, speaking of Pierre, you know, nemesis, they had a moment of glory and then it's been, you know, downhill from there. But
that one shining moment.
Shannon, what do I love more than anything? Other than Valtteri Bottas?
Charles Leclerc.
That and a conspiracy theory.
Okay. I was like, oh, okay. Yes.
And when I saw a headline that said Esteban Ocon conspiracy theory shared by Sky F1 pundit, I said, you're combining two of my great loves. And there is a theory that, okay, this is kind of, I mean, I believe it. If it's Ocon, I'll believe it.
Okay.
Was Esteban Ocon dropped by Alpine amidst questions of, quote, which team he was playing for? That's a conspiracy theory shared by our girl Naomi Schiff, who also had a beautiful, stunning, incredible wedding. Go look it up on Instagram.
Oh my god, it was 20 out of 10. It was so good,
insane, gorgeous. Ocon crashed out of Sunday's Qatar Grand Prix, punted into retirement by the Haas of Nico Hülkenberg, and as he made his way back to the paddock, a rumor emerged claiming that was the end of his Alpine career. He threw fuel on that fire when he spoke with the media, including Planet F1, saying, I would like to thank the team for their hard work over this race and their hard work over the whole year. When it's going well, it's good to stick together. But when it's not going so well, the engineers and the mechanics stick together. And that's the most important thing.
Mm.
Yeah. And so there's a conspiracy theory going around. So where they're saying Schiff said on Sky One, I think it's a risky decision, speaking about his exit. I mean, firstly, for Esteban, it's a shame. I know it seems like it's a mutual decision, but to end your time at Alpine by missing the last race together, that's a bit of a shame. But at the same time, I don't know, conspiracy theorists might say, well, there's 5 points between Haas and Alpine. Which team is he playing for? She goes, I'm not the one saying this. Let me clarify that. She just put it out there.
Right.
She said she's not the one saying it. She's just seen it. But that there's a conspiracy that it's like, has he already switched? Is he hopeful for Haas already?
You know, there is a lot of steam, we shall say, behind this statement, given that Haas doesn't have a giant bag of money to play with. But what was it? $5 million
difference? 5 point difference. And Alpine has come on really hot at the end of the year, which obviously, like, Haas was kind of, you know, going along their way, about to have their best finish. And then Alpine's just kind of like, oh, here we are.
Yeah. I don't hate it. I don't hate it whatsoever. And this does give, if he does get fired, which he did. This releases it from him, his contract, and allows him to get to Haas faster, meaning he doesn't have to wait out the period at the end of the season.
He can start the testing immediately.
Testing can start in Abu Dhabi.
It can start right now, because that's where all the testing, all the test runs and stuff happen anyways in Abu Dhabi. So they're all just going to be kicking it there anyways.
Dang.
So yeah. All right. Well, now that we've talked about all the drama, off the track.
Well, and then we're going to
not all of it.
Drama that swirled within the desert track. Of the track.
What a time.
Right? Oh.
It was a sprint weekend. And that is what it is. My husband did walk in at one point and goes, what's happening right now? I thought we already, what is this, qualifying? And I was like, yeah, I'm watching qualifying. He's like, doesn't that come from the sprint? And I was like, where have you been all season?
Right.
Do you not know that your wife has a podcast about F1? No, now it's all changed. And he was like, why are they always changing the rules? And honestly, why are they always changing the rules?
Honestly, but we all ask that same question, and the drivers even ask that question. Why do you change them in the middle of a race? I don't understand.
But yeah, so sprint weekend, so we got a lot of time on the track, and a lot of time for the drama.
The drama.
And George Russell said he's not saving the drama for his mama, and neither did Max. They brought the drama straight to one another.
Truly, the drama happened in qualies for the race. The sprint quali happened. The sprint happened. You know, everything was seemingly fine.
Which George wins the sprint race. Right? I watched the whole thing. You know, there's so many
I'm like,
things
why am
happening.
I blacking out on this? I know.
I watched the whole thing from start to finish, but now I'm like, I get it all confused because
my app quit.
Because it's a lot, you know, it's a lot to keep up with. And I was like fully focused on the race. And then I'm like, what happened in the sprint? Like,
what happened? Okay, sprint finish.
Guitar. He did, right?
Okay. I don't honestly, Danielle, I'm like 90% sure of that, but I don't know. Didn't Lando finish the sprint?
The sprint things, there's too much to keep up with.
Yeah. McLaren's Teamwork Masterclass secures 1-2 sprint finish in Qatar.
Okay, but then George won did George start on pole? George be doing so much Georgian. I can't keep up with all the Georgian.
Okay, so the drama happened in qualies.
Yeah, okay.
When we had the issue of both George and Max being out on a slow lap, George passes Max in kind of an unsafe manner, but there the discord, like he finishes second in qualies because Max had a fast time. One quali.
Yeah.
But George is like, wait a minute. Verstappen turns into me. This is unsafe on a slow lap. This shouldn't be allowed. And for some reason, FIA was like, yeah, you're right. We're going to give him a one place penalty so that he's going to start second for the race instead of first.
Did you see the thing that I posted in our stories about why it was a one place and not a two or a three?
I did, but I also think that that's bullshit because there was no, like, there was no harm. There was no danger. There was, nobody got injured. Nobody was like,
I think that's why they were like, it really didn't affect anything. So that's why we're just doing one.
Which, again, it didn't need to be a penalty to begin
no,
with.
No, I agree. Like, I'm just saying that's what the reasoning apparently was. Like, this is just,
Yeah. I mean, this isn't a racing incident that got penalized for George just, you know, jabber-jabbing. I don't know. Like, it just didn't
Charles
make
Leclerc
any sense.
Would never. He would just say it was an incident, and then he would move on.
So this is where, like, we watched it on at the beginning of the race on Sunday when they were talking about this, of like, even Bernie Collins was like, yeah, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. Like, if anybody, George was kind of more in the wrong than Max was, because his team was telling him in his ear, like, hey, you have Verstappen ahead of you. So he already knew going past Verstappen.
Yeah.
That, and he was far enough ahead. Like, you can't even see Verstappen when the team is telling him, hey, Verstappen's ahead of you. He's like, okay, cool. Got it. You don't even see Max in George's vision, line of vision. So you're like, okay, what's the issue? And then, you know, George goes past Max, and there is no shift of Max's steering. There's no slight turn to the left. There is none of that from Max. And yet George is like, that was so unsafe. And I remember looking, I was like, what part of that was unsafe? Like, none of that looked even remotely like we're in a scenario where this needs to be even, you know, noted, let alone acted on. Like, I was so confused by that whole scenario.
But apparently George went hard
in
that Max,
paint.
And that's where things like, okay, so if you're going to go ahead and say it, like, you know, you hit your tattletale, you let him know you don't think it's great. But what Max came out and said was that, like, you know, that George sucks.
Yeah. So this was the part when I posted this on our stories, and there were quite a few people that were like, hey, Max did the same thing. And what I didn't clarify in my point in my story about this was, I agree with Max 100% in this, in that he says George is one way on camera and a different way when the cameras
Max
are on. And
is
that's
gonna talk
what
shit
I,
about, yeah.
Right. And I agree with that 1,000%, because Max did, you know, push for Lando to have the, you know, the stop and go, the 10-second stop and go after not breaking under, you know, a yellow, which I get. Like, that seems to be like a penalty that probably should be addressed. Not George's complaint of Max literally not doing anything on a slow
also,
lap. With that, I was like, I don't get.
He kind of calls him out mostly for just being like super two-faced. Like,
yes.
I don't think any of us think that Max is not somebody who will, like, he definitely isn't afraid to get into it with anybody and to be like, you know, I have never seen Max like back down from saying one thing to a reporter and then like sitting next to somebody at couch and being like, we're best friends. Like,
right.
And also I do agree with what he said when he's like, I think there's a level of respect. And I think that like, he doesn't have that level of respect. Like, I would agree that I think Max can be a real dick. But like with Lewis, like, I don't think that there's like, they want to hang out. They certainly don't like each other. Like, they're not trying to get drinks, you know?
Right. But there is a mutual respect between the two.
There's a mutual respect. Like, he even said it about Lewis. He's like, I don't think that, like, he just came out this week and said some, you know, made some nice quote about Lewis. It's basically like, yeah, he's a boss. Like, this time sucks. Like, he's in a bad time, but like, I don't think you should ever write him off, because there's a level of respect there. And I think that he doesn't, like, George is like, acts like they're best buds. And then it's just,
I agree.
So
and then does what he does. And I think that's like, honestly, I feel like Max might've nailed it for a lot of people that are like, I can't put my finger on why I don't like George. And I think Max was just like, yeah, because he's not real. Like, he is a robot for the camera. And then he is something completely different. And I was like, that's it. Like, I don't like artificial people. George to me is an artificial person.
Like, yeah. And I think if you don't like Max, like, you don't like him because he is what he is. Like, he's not trying to be something he's not. That's for damn sure.
Correct. Correct.
For better or for worse.
Yeah. So that made things interesting. But it still didn't stop Max from doing Max things on
Max
the track.
Max be Maxin
and was like, Max, super Max, let me show you George fucking Russell what I'm going to do to you on this track, which was make George look like an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, he just was like, I'm going to win.
Yeah.
Also, you can't give him a reason. Like, when you let him just kind of like when you don't, if anybody watches Summer House, this is going to be a Hub House reference. If you don't activate Max, then like he, you know, we've seen him come in fifth or sixth, and which seemed wildly unlikely this season. but he wasn't kind of like super compelled or whatever. This time they were, he was like, no, I'm interested now.
Yeah. Yeah. I got some things to say.
He said karma is
lots of things.
My boyfriend.
Yeah. It's the breeze on your Red Bull coming up. Yeah.
It's time for us to box. We'll be right back after this quick break.
O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
That made the beginning of the race super interesting. But also, you know who else be making things interesting all the time?
Poor Lando.
Well, also, Lance fucking Stroll. You know, like, it's not one thing, it's another with him. Because he initiates contact with Alex Albon. And that one little contact created a ripple effect in this race that we'll be talking about for years to come, because it's not until like laps and laps later where suddenly Alex Albon loses his rear view mirror, his side mirror.
His side mirror, yeah.
And it just like
that Yuki
hangs
thinks
out.
Is a beaver.
Yeah. Which is also like
unexplained. Like,
it's the Middle East and there's a beaver on the track. Like, I don't understand.
I know that Yuki may not be familiar with the native wildlife in all countries, and that's you know, no one's faulting him for that, but a beaver. That was a giggle.
I was like, okay.
But also the commentator saw it. Everyone saw it. You should they spotted it and were like, hey, this is gonna be a problem.
Yeah. And
then three laps later, it was a problem.
To refresh anyone who is like, I don't know why, you know, like what happens when there's debris on the track? Well, let me tell you. A safety car is deployed in Formula One when there is immediate hazard on the track, but the circumstances do not require the race to be suspended. Okay.
Yeah,
normal practice is for safety car not to be deployed if there's a small amount of debris off the race and off the racing line. Okay. The extensive debris after a car hit the mirror and the punctures that occurred shortly after that forced the decision to have a safety car. So in the ruling in which the new race director was like, oh, it's just a small amount of debris, we don't need to worry about it, turned into a big mistake because it impeded four cars.
Yeah.
And that is not okay.
Totally
Carlos and Lewis, I got punctures in their cars. Valtteri got taken out by the mirror. So it's like,
it wasn't a very clear racing line spot too. Like, you could avoid it if you're by yourself, but if you're trying to make a pass in the DRS.
Yeah. And it's right outside of the exit of pit lane. So it's like, this is a big deal. This really was a big deal and should have been dealt with a lot sooner than it was. For it to go on, I think, for four laps is excessive. And then we eventually get a safety car out of it, but it's like, that's why we have safety cars. I mean,
it could have been a virtual. Like, all they had to do was a virtual, so they slow down, get it, and then
And they were like, "Oh, it's too dangerous for the marshals to come out and to get it." That's why you have a safety car, motherfucker, because you slow people down and say there is something on the track that needs to be taken care of. That is why you have it. That is in your rules and why you have it.
So
again, why are you choosing not to follow the rules that you wrote?
Don't know.
It's exhausting being an F1 fan.
Also, has it been a little exhausting? Are you so sad for Lewis? Lewis be having
okay,
but the
I need a minute.
Sprint race, Lewis, 10 out of 10.
Looks great.
That Charles and Lewis, like right next to each other, that was a thing of beauty.
I know. I was like, I mean,
it was awesome.
It was fantastic. Loved it so much. Was so happy for both. I was like, God, this is amazing racing. Thank you, boys, for bringing what we've been wanting to see.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But the sad Lewis of I'm ready to quit. I'm going to take my toys and I'm ready to go home. Like, nothing broke my heart more to hear him and like, guys, I'm turning off the engine. And they're like, don't do that. Like, I'm going to do it. Box the car right now. And then like a lap later, they're like, box the car. And he's like, no, fuck you. I'm staying out here just to piss you off. Cause I already told you I was ready.
I already told you I wanted to quit.
Yeah. And he was saying the whole time, like, guys, there's something wrong with my tire. And they're like, it's fine. And he's like,
he's had a lot of Eeyore vibes this week. Like, his quotes have been real Eeyore. He's had the dark, like the rain cloud over him.
Yeah.
His whole sentiment this week has been
bleak.
It was sad.
And my hope for him is, I'm like, I know you don't want to end this decade, this era, this Mercedes era like this. Nobody wants to see you in this, but for the love of all of the people that believe in you, Lewis, do not end in Abu Dhabi the way that you wanted to just give up and quit in Qatar. Because we are all ready to go red 44. Like, the day, December 9th, is that the last race? We are closing the chapter.
The 8th is the last race.
On Petronas Green, and we are opening it up to Ferrari red on the 9th. So we are ready. But what just we need you to do season. Is just to end with your head held high and be the king that you know how to be.
Yeah. Well, I hope that he goes out on a high. I think we all want that for him. I think legitimately some cars would move out of the way for him at this point.
And I thought about this too. I'm like, he's not retiring. He's not, you know, like, he's not quitting racing. And I do think like there is something special about, like, we're going to see him again. It's just going to be, in a Ferrari. Would it be epic in the most, you know, beautiful icing on the cake for him to win? Absolutely.
Yeah.
If George Russell gets anywhere near him and doesn't let him
I will
win.
Say, I bet Max Verstappen would surrender himself just to hold up. Because,
and if it came to George, like taking out George in order for Lewis to have a moment, he's like, I got you. I owe you something in Abu Dhabi, motherfucker. Well, here you go.
We're rivals. Like, you know, game recognizes game. But it's like, this guy, I can't.
But you know, Lewis and Max now have a side chat being like, I told you someone was wrong about him. And Max is like, yes, you did, Lewis. You were right.
I mean, even Max is like, his quotes about it were kind of like, he's like, I'm even gonna, like, it's basically like the same thing when we said we didn't like nice Max. Like, nobody wants sad Lewis. Like, he's like, no, I need my like person back. Like, what's the point of having a rivalry if, like, you know, you don't have any pep in your step?
Right. You got it.
You know?
Yeah. Like my therapist always said, she's like, you can't play tug of war if you don't pick up the rope. They need each other to pick up the rope.
Yeah. Max is like, come on. I need you to, like, this was fun. Like, let's do this again.
Come on.
It's good for us both. So sad Lewis has been super sad.
Yeah. Sad Lewis. So, okay, sad news, you know, I'm sure that everybody who listens to this podcast also watched the race. So, you know, that we had quite a few DNFs. Lance had to retire the car. Alex had to retire the car. But did Bottas finish? Yeah, I think because he did.
He finished. He finished ahead of, was so sad. Lando went to the back and we were like, holy mother of all things good. Is Sauber going to have a double points? Because Joe finished in the points. And at that point, Valtteri was in 10th place. And Lando just starts, like, you know, he was doing old school Lewis Hamilton stuff, like going back to the back and then just like skedaddling back up to the front. And they were like, he's probably going to catch Valtteri and bump him out of the points, which was so sad. And he did. He got in. Lando made it up back to 10th place. But it went Lando, then Valtteri in 11th, and then Lewis in 12th.
That's right. That was kind of wild. Because
Joe got points. So like
Joe got 4 points coming in 8th place, getting 4 points. Honestly, that was the highlight of that race.
And driver of the day.
Everything was great. It was a beautiful moment. And
I also love that the entire F1 community was like, no, Joe is the driver of the day.
Yeah. They're like, I don't care what you're.
I don't care what's happening up here. Nobody cares.
Joe's.
I just wish that Valtteri had stayed in 10th.
Yeah.
If by some act of God, he could have stayed in 10th and they could have double point. The whole garage would have fully imploded with joy.
It would have been.
The video was so great. I think they were still happy. Like there was no. Disappointment in the Sauber in the garage.
I agree. They were so super happy. But you know, Lando only getting what 2 points for the team because he did get fastest lap. Very bad. That gets McLaren to 640 points and Ferrari at 619.
We could do it. It's still saying there's a chance.
Still there, guys. It's still there.
And if Carlos hadn't had the issue with the freaking mirror being left out there, the gap would have even been shorter because he probably would have finished, a little bit higher up the ranks.
All roads lead back to Lance Stroll. So thank you once again for doing what you do.
Lance Stroll needs to quit just because for his own peace of mind.
Exactly.
He's just not happy out there.
No.
Is he happy out there? I mean, I'm saying that from having no idea whatsoever. He could be totally happy. It just doesn't feel like there's any joy in the racing.
No.
And this isn't like a week or two like Lewis where we know there's no joy, but that the joy could return.
Yeah.
The joy feels like it has left the entire sport for Lance and that this is just not for him.
No. I mean, he's still, again, kind of mid-pack. He's in 13th place in the driver's standings. The car's fine. But this is great. So currently we have Pierre Gasly with 36 points and his bestie boo, Yuki Tsunoda, at 30 points. So those two are going to probably finish right next to each other being like, look at
that. Did you see that they got apartments near each other? Yuki bought an apartment near Pierre and I think Milan is where they said it is. And I think that's where they said it was. Either way, that they now they live near each other and they went and did karaoke or something.
Oh my God. Nothing is greater than that.
Could you imagine if you just walked in and saw them having a night? What a delight. Yeah, they live near each other. They're bestie boos. I got to figure out where they live. I'm pretty sure someone said.
You check that out and then we'll wrap up these race results because we had Max finished first. Charles finished second, right?
Did Charles finish second? What a silly question that you would ask. Why would you even say that? You don't know the answer. Yeah, Charles finished second.
And then sweet little Oscar Piastri finished third. It made me giggle. I was like, is she paying attention? She's paying attention. Okay, good.
I'm paying attention, but yes, Yuki moved to Italy.
That is so fun. I love that for him.
Charles finished in second. Justice for Charles.
This was Verstappen's 63rd, I believe, finish. First place finish.
Good for him.
Yeah. Isn't that a nice little, who else is 63, Daniel?
Who?
George Russell.
Oh,
poetic.
That's a race number. Okay. Well, I was like, that's not his 63rd, right?
George, you thought you were going to do something with this pole position, and Max just came in and won his 63rd race on your number, thanks to your tattletale, George, that you like to do. Just put it to you on your number.
Catching up on the numbers, we all know that Max has won his fourth driver's championship. We congratulated him on that last week.
We sure did.
But Lando is at 349 in second place and sweet Charles Leclerc is breathing down his neck with 341. So it's all goes into this last race.
That is wild.
Just saying. Wild.
I mean,
I think it matters more to Charles than it does to Lando really at this point. I mean, I think it matters a lot to Lando, but I feel like Charles has really hung his hat and built his whole season up around trying to finish second.
Yeah.
So expect big things.
Oh, full support for Charles Leclerc to come in second place.
Yeah.
Let's go.
He's first in my heart, mind, but second in the drivers would be truly outstanding.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Be lovely. As Max would say, isn't that Max's just
simply lovely?
Simply lovely. Simply. It would be simply lovely. I'm hoping for an old school, not old school, a 2 years ago, Max, Lewis, Charles.
Yeah. Podium. But I need the order to go Lewis, Charles, Max.
I need you
on board for it to be Lewis, Danielle. We need to be together in our effort.
I need him to score more points.
He will, because Lando's not going to make the podium. So it doesn't matter at that point.
Now that you've said it, you've jinxed it.
No, I have the premonitions. Remember, I'm pretty good at this.
I'm hoping you are pretty good about the combos. Sometimes your orders are not in
a
the
little
right.
bit askew. I do not see a McLaren on the podium at the end of this.
I support them.
I don't.
I support them.
I think there's going to be a couple and there's going to be too many mistakes.
I hope Carlos finishes in fourth and that Ferrari takes the constructors.
I do. I would love for that to happen. I would, because I mean, at this point, it's like you waited too long, Zach Brown, to make your decision, and you weren't clear enough with your expectations and your delivery and you cute this season. And for that reason, you don't deserve to have it.
And I hope the point differential is the amount of them swapping Lando and
8 points. It's 8 points. That's what race would have cost them.
For the sprint was, it was a difference of 8 points.
I believe so. Yes. Oh, no. Sorry. Wait. That would have been the difference between.
I think it was only like two,
Lando losing and Matt. Lando losing to Max by 8 points. That's what it was.
I meant the difference of them swapping the orders on Lando letting Oscar through and that sprint.
Yeah.
Because once again, did I find it lovely and full of team camaraderie? Of course. I'm here for Lando, you know, being a good teammate. I'm here for the growth. I'm here for the maturity. I'm not here for the team asking him to do that when it's very close.
Yeah. I know.
You know, like a kicking him too. Like, we not only do we not like maybe want you to be one, we like don't even maybe want you to be like second in the driver's standings.
Well, okay. Here's where the team can only do so much, right? Like the team orders at that time were crap. It has been on Lando making the mistakes that Lando has made that has him from being like a solid second in the stage.
Which he did own his mistake this weekend. He took the 10-second penalty. He said, I didn't realize it. Like I wouldn't have intentionally done that, you know?
Yeah.
He owned his shit on that. So I give him credit for that.
Yeah. And I feel like he also has done a really good job of admitting when he has made the mistakes in previous races. And again, not converting from being on pole. Like these are like the small things. And again, that make a big difference in a driver's championship.
He's taken ownership of his role in this. And that's the thing. I think that Lando has taken ownership of his mistakes of where he's falling and where the team is falling. I do not necessarily think the team has taken ownership of the position they have put him in.
I 1000% agree with you on that. Yes.
And I think that's kind of the thing that rubs me the wrong way about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not an anti-Lando thing. It's just why did the team let it get to this?
Right.
Because I do think that Lando has shown a lot of growth. He's clearly matured a lot this season. He's clearly like taking responsibility for his routines and things like that. And not being like, he even talked about how he didn't like Vegas and they're like, oh, you didn't go out and party. And he's like, no, I went to bed, you know? Yeah. So, and then they were like, you didn't go celebrate. And he's like, well, I didn't have anything to celebrate, which was a giggle, but he's clearly making choices to be a more responsible, like put himself in a place to do this. And I think he takes ownership again when he makes mistakes and that the team has kind of hung him out to dry.
Let him down on that. I agree. Yeah. I think that's the best way to say that.
But anyways, this was an exciting race. It had a little dip, but then we were really, it was a good time.
Yeah. It took me a minute. Cause I like right before the mirror fell off, I was just doing some like scrolling cause it was getting a little snoozy and I was like,
snoozy. It had a pit. It had a little bit.
It had a little dip. Exactly. And I was like, wait a minute. Why? What happened? Why is there a mirror on the ground? Whose mirror is that? what happened? I turned away for 1 minute.
And I also want to make a statement too, because, you know, I've been very critical of, I said that Vegas looks like a prison yard and I still stand by that. And this was a night race and you could see the fans. Like, obviously I know that there's limitations on Vegas of how people can sit and things like that. But this track is a night race. I liked it very much. There's still not my favorite, but liked it much, like very much. I think the track has like more room to breathe, obviously, than Vegas mm-hmm. does. Again, I understand the limitations of racing on the strip, but the fans, you can see the fans. Like it doesn't yeah. feel so disconnected from the fan experience. And so I want to say, like, I'm not a hater on all night races. This race I found yeah. quite enjoyable at a night race. It did not look, you know, like they were racing yeah. the streets of the Green Mile. So I also was talking about this with a friend, and he was saying that, and he's like pretty involved in the sports world. And he was saying that he actually went out there for a couple of days. He didn't stay for the race, but he was out there, I think for qualies. But he said, I think that F1 is better for Vegas than Vegas is for F1. And I think that that's a pretty like succinct way of putting it. I think yeah. that the race is, you know, good business for Vegas, but that Vegas isn't necessarily like bringing a lot to the F1 side of things.
That's a fair statement. Yeah.
Yeah. And when he said that, I was pretty much nailed it, I thought.
Yeah.
And I think that that's very exciting for the stuff off track, but I don't necessarily think like the racing experience feels, I don't feel like the on track product is super high, super yeah. high value.
That's true. Do you, did you miss the build up to Vegas this year? Cause you know, I mean, I know that last year was like the first year or whatever, but like I loved when they did like the golf scramble. Like they were just immersive in the city, which kind of made it feel more connected to like
the fan experience. Yeah.
Yeah. The fan experience. And I missed that this year. I was like, you know, I mean, I know Netflix, let's be honest, they're not great at
live TV. And I'm very nervous about this yep. NFL game that they're supposed to be airing on Christmas Day. Feels like calamity is upon us. And you know, it's people, like, you can't mess with people's.
No,
NFL, you gotta just Christmas.
Stay in your lane. You know, you're so good at so many things, but you don't be greedy. Like, you don't need to be great at everything. Well, clearly, you're not great at live sports. So, like,
you know, yeah, that Tyson,
we know that that's not happened yet, but like, ooh.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really care one way or the other about the other. I thought it was worth clarifying that I thought that this night race was really cool. Yeah. And that the track is interesting and allows for a lot of overtaking and creates a cool dynamic. And
yeah, you know, it's also nice, like when it comes to a night race like this, like you get one view, but gives you several different like corners of the track, which you see, like Vegas doesn't give you that at all. It's either a straightaway or it's a turn. Like it's, you know, there is no like one spot gets you multiple views. And I think for most tracks, like maybe not Monaco, but
yeah, Monaco is also very tight, but it's a totally different experience. You can see the, like, it's a totally different.
There's fans everywhere and you can see the fans. Yeah. Like, you're feeling that energy there. And I'm Jeddah is Abu Dhabi, right? Or is it? No. Hold on, let me check.
No, Jeddah's at the beginning of the year.
Jeddah's at the beginning of the year. What's the track name? But I couldn't remember if, and I dropped my phone. So now I don't have.
No, it's Yas Marina. That's Abu Dhabi.
Okay, that's what it is. Yeah, I like this one. This is a good one.
Yeah, I love this one. I think this track is beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Is this a night one? Or is this is a day one or is this the night one?
This is a day one, I believe.
I think so.
It's hard to tell on this like schedule because I don't know what time it's going to be there at, based on what they're showing me on our times. But I believe it's a day race.
I think so too. Let me grab my phone. Okay, cool.
I think this track is beautiful. I think it's stunning. You know, they obviously in the Middle East, they are spending a pretty penny.
Yeah.
And that's what, and I emphasize the pretty penny because they are creating really lovely tracks. And I would like to attend sometime. I honestly would rather go to one of these. I think that it looks great.
Yeah. It's airing at 8 a.m. our time. So
I would assume that it's a day race there, but I don't know. I have no idea. It may be a night race. Who knows? Who cares?
Who knows?
We'll be watching. Okay. We'll be watching with coffee at the end of the season as our last race of the year. Can you believe?
How did we?
I can't believe it. It's been so long.
I know. I feel like this has been like the never ending season of F1. But yeah. I mean, they have given us some things to talk about for sure, which I do love. But like, whew. What? what's Netflix going to do this season? There's so much for them to cover.
It's going to be like a three-parter, it feels remember like. And also, we didn't even mention this. We mentioned Ocon being out, but Jack Doohan is in. So yes. We're going to see eyes on Jack for the first time.
Another Aussie.
Another Aussie. Love.
So good.
Making his way downtown. Probably driving fast. So that'll be exciting to see. I think it's going to be exciting to see how this all plays out with this Checo Perez, with this Valtteri Bottas, and then also the Cadillac of it all.
Oh, that's right.
The Cadillac of it all. Like, who's Cadillac going to be driving the Caddy? This is another thing to consider.
But that happens in 26, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But still, like, that doesn't mean... You know, and I can assure you that they will be doing a lot of promotional stuff this 2025 season. I feel like there will be a lot of build up. I could imagine a lot like this team having a presence, doing some sort of like fan events or things like that to build excitement. Maybe not at every single race because that's hella expensive, but I could see them picking, you know, six races where they go and are doing some sort of fan experience things or Q&As or things like that with once they finalize their drivers. It would feel like silly not to. You got to build excitement for this new team.
Right. We have an American-based team. Like, let's really throw some good old-fashioned American nonsense behind it. And,
you know, and take it on tour.
Make it great. Yeah.
And I would imagine they probably hit, you know, I'm sure they probably hit an Asian race. They probably will hit a couple European races. I could see them kind of like sprinkling, you know, hitting a Latin American race, kind of hitting – Just
I'm curious what the
throughout the globe.
Yeah, like what that Cadillac market is internationally. I mean, you know, like Escalades are just synonymous with like luxury and, you know,
black cars,
and you know, just they have that vibe about them. And you know, we see them internationally everywhere. Yeah. So, but I'm curious, like, what market have they? You know, what who sells the most? And
yeah, what's like market? A key market for them?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I think no matter what, I think that they're going to want to do some sort of road show, no pun intended, with this new team and pairing and principal and all of that.
And who is the president? Who's the board of director president for Cadillac Racing?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
It's not Mario.
Isn't it?
No, he's not the board president, is he? I thought they brought him on.
Mario.
I don't know.
Andretti.
I mean, I love Mario.
Cadillac F1.
He's in a non-executive role with the team.
I thought they announced him to serve on the board. I thought he was
he's on the board. He's not like the president of it. I knew that. Okay. He's in a non-executive. He'll advise Cadillac F1 as a director. And the driver goals, according to this, that Mario Andretti reposted because it's an NBC exclusive. I don't know why he's doing an NBC exclusive. They don't cover a lot of F1. Mario Andretti reveals his plans for America's new Formula One team. He'll advise Cadillac F1 as a director, looking at a Ferrari 2026-2027 engine, expects GM Cadillac engine 2028 and on. Driver goals, one F1 vet, one young American.
There's
director is which I mean, okay. But he like, said it's a non
like a Zach like, Brown.
I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's he himself said it's a non-executive, like a
okay.
I don't know. It's weird. He will be a director on the board. There's a lot of conflicting.
These articles are not very clear about.
No, I'm on Mario Andretti's Twitter, so these are things he's reposting. So, and so he says his quote directly. I feel very lucky that I've been able to stick around for this long and do what I love for so long. And the idea that the Cadillac F1 team wants me around, I'll help where I can, a non-executive role with the team, not involved in day-to-day operations because I don't want a job. Smiley face emoji, but offering advice, inspiration, friendship anywhere I can. I am beyond fortunate. I would love that job. I can offer advice, inspiration, and friendship.
Without it. Yes, please.
And sounds I don't want a job.
Yeah. I just want to talk about it. Tell you, you're doing this wrong. And there you go.
So those, these are all from like his Twitter page. So this is straight from the source.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Well, excellent. Well, welcome, Cadillac. We are.
And I don't think they could give him like a principal role because essentially F1 has been like, we don't want you. And he's
you're not. I'm not involved.
He's just here for friendship.
Just here for friendship. That's it.
Here for friendship. But I think that's going to be an exciting development too. Like, who knows who they get. So exciting times ahead.
This is going to be great.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well, let's wrap up up. With who your driver of the day and who your...
Oh, okay. Well, driver of the day clearly was Zhou Guan Yu.
Yeah, 100%.
He's fantastic.
And the whole Sauber team.
Yes. All the mechanics, all the things, everything. And my P1 is going to go to that damn mirror because it just gave us a little bit of excitement when we needed it most.
My P1 goes to Max Verstappen because I'm happy to see Petty Max back. I like this new Max that can be, you know, magnanimous. That can be thoughtful and, dare I say, kind, but they can also just switch back and just be like, to the neck.
Yeah.
To the neck, George.
With a butter knife.
Butter knife to the neck to George. This is the villain I want. He's honestly becoming the person. And I'm really hoping that this Valtteri thing happens because
you want to be a Red Bull fan so bad.
I might get Red Bull merch. I might get Red Bull merch. Set it now.
Okay. Okay. Well.
Also, I think you all should know that I did win my Max Verstappen World Championship bet. It was only $10 to pay $16, but I did put my money where my mouth was. And
you did it.
I should have bet more, frankly. I did it kind of as like a joke, but I really should have bet more. Not a joke, but just like to say. To double down.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm glad that it worked out for you. I'm glad that he doesn't disappoint your bank account.
Honestly, I needed it too because I was on a high of highs. And as it tends to happen, the house has taken back a lot of its money that I was winning. And I'm not on a heater anymore.
no more heater. It's the winter. Winter is coming.
Winter has arrived. It's not great. But Max Verstappen was keeping me alive on that. So, you know.
Thanks, Max.
We talked a lot about Max this time.
We really have. It's probably the most we've ever talked about Max.
And also my P1 was Max, but my P2 is, of course, Charles. It needs to be said that everyone's been a hater on him and he's taken a lot of blow. Like, a lot
Who's
of blows.
Hating on Charles?
I feel like people have been. You. And and
I do not hate on Charles.
You do a little bit. A little bit.
I don't let producer Keith. Can you zoom into this eye roll? Okay, thanks.
A little bit, but yeah, I think that he's come on strong. You know, he had a dip in the season, and I'm really proud of him for he's finishing strong.
But that's because he's not a bad guy. Did you see that little thing where Carlos is like, "You can't beat a bad guy. You're not a bad guy."
No, he's a good guy. So cute. And you know, I'm glad that they left their troubles on the track. You know, and that's one thing I like about Charles and Carlos. Like, they may have beef, but I feel like they leave it on the on the racetrack.
They do. I think their beef is not with each other. I think their beef is with the team. Like,
and I don't think their beef. You guys is are idiots. People are, as people, their beef is like it's all on the track.
Yeah,
they leave that there.
They leave it.
It's a little petty on the track, but you know.
I mean, it's going to be if the racing orders are fight race, then yeah. There's no nice guys.
So, anyways, I'm here for it. Excellent. You know what? You guys should be here for following us on Formula One on Instagram and TikTok because that would be great. And we're going into the end of the season, so which means we're about to go into vacation season and. I can't wait to see what's happening there. We're going to do some deep dives. We're going to get some content together. We're going to reevaluate who we are, what we want to be going forward. Just like Mario Andretti. Are we here for friendship? Are we here for advice?
We're going to pull a Valtteri. We're going to what's next? So, you know, what's like next? Postseason, what's next? What are we doing?
So please make sure you're following us at F1 Push Push on Instagram and TikTok. You can also view our episodes now thanks to our partners at the State of Louisville on YouTube // State of Louisville. You can see our smiling faces. Ooh, and the light just went out on my ring camera. So you could see the light go out behind my eyes. And if you follow us on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts, we would be overjoyed. We would be thrilled. We would be happier than Mario Andretti finally getting his role in F1. If you would rate and review the podcast. And until next time, push, push.